Stay rooted in our love for Jesus. No person on earth or devil in hell can keep us from our eternal destiny. Amen?
Amen.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
And what a glorious day our Lord has made for us today. I am Deacon Bob Angelich, and on behalf of our celebrant, Father Justin, we welcome you to our celebration this evening. To anyone visiting with us here tonight, please know that our hearts and our doors will always be open for you. Now, if you were paying attention to the three readings, all three had something in common. All three were very tough readings, not a whole lot of feel-good in them. In our first reading, it's a story out of the Old Testament and has a flavor of jealousy to it. Outsiders are doing God's work. And this causes jealousy from those who think they have a privileged religious position and only they should be doing God's work. Now, the sad thing is that was 2,000 plus years ago. It still goes on today in some Christian religious circles and sadly in some parishes. I've seen it firsthand myself. You know, where God's Spirit chooses to move is up to God. And sometimes he chooses to go in odd places. Now, for all of us here tonight, we've all probably had our moments and experienced some form of jealousy ourselves. Either being jealous of somebody or something, which just wears you out, or having to deal with a jealous person, which also wears you out. You know, Scripture says a lot about jealousy. And none of it is flattering. From James chapter 3, verse 16. Where jealousy exists, there will be disorder and every vile practice. You can't argue with that. Jealousy is, of course, sinful, and it will pull you away from God. If you have it in your life, cut it off. Now, in our second reading, that's from the New Testament, and that second reading is really quite stark and quite confrontational. James warns us that those who are rich, those with a wealth of material goods, that their wealth will corrode and rot away. And if you worship that wealth, it will devour you. James is recognizing that a human life is fleeting, and James knows that no amount of earthly wealth will earn you your salvation of life eternal. I've said this before in other sermons, and I'll say it again. When somebody is on their deathbed, all the wealth in the world is of no value to them. Amen? Then James continues on. And he continues on with a very stark warning that if wealth was created by victimizing other people, by taking advantage of other people, the cries of those who are oppressed will reach the ears of the Lord. And such injustices calls out for vengeance. And God will not ignore those who are oppressed, nor will he ignore those who oppress others for the sake of accumulating wealth. Now, I want to be clear here with everyone. Money and wealth unto itself is not evil. It is the love of money. It is the worship of wealth as a god that is sinful. And like jealousy in our first reading, the false worship of money also pulls you away from the one true God. If you are worshiping the god of money, cut it off. Then we have our gospel story. It starts with a disciple who was jealous because he saw someone working in Jesus' name. But whoever this person was, he was an outsider and did not belong to the group, similar to our first story. But Jesus shuts this jealousy down in a heartbeat. Jesus does not allow the disciple to have self-righteousness over being one of his followers. And that, too, is an attitude that we need to avoid, both as an individual and as a parish. And then the gospel moves on to a very harsh set of instructions regarding sin. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. And if your eye causes you to sin, rip it out. Rarely through the Gospels, when Jesus is speaking, rarely does Jesus ever give repetitive, excessive number of examples when he's talking. He rarely does this. He's doing it today so that we understand the importance that he is placing on his instruction to us. Now, Jesus doesn't intend for this to be taken literally, and he certainly is not suggesting any form of self-mutilation. But what Jesus is telling us, what he is saying in extremely strong terms, is this: no effort should be spared. No price is too great to pay if it keeps us out of sin and keeps us out of the place of destruction that burns forever. This is some serious instruction meant to remind us all that our decisions and our actions do have consequence. Amen? Now, you know, it would be real nice to come up here on Sundays and talk only about the feel-good things that Christianity has about it. It'd be real nice to focus only on those things in the spiritual world that make us feel all happy inside. But the problem is, if we do that as a church, we are incomplete. We cannot proclaim only a part of the gospel and not the whole gospel. And sometimes the gospel of Jesus Christ is not very comfortable. Jesus never proclaims that if you are one of my followers, it will always be easy and comfortable for you. He never, ever says that. And today's readings are a reminder of just that. So we have to be careful and not become a lukewarm church. We have to speak to all of God's truth. We must teach that God is not just some external being waiting around, looking for opportunities to make us feel good with material rewards. Rather, as a church, we have to reach out and teach and hold out for the world to see that the very nature of God resides in here, in our hearts and in our souls. You know, picture the story of creation for a moment. You know, we have this tender image, this very tender image of a loving God taking clay out of the ground and forming it into a human. And he holds that human in his hand. And then he gently blows into his creation, giving it life. You know, this is not some form of divine CPR. This is God taking his very essence, God taking his very spirit and putting it into his creation, his very breath. And that creation, of course, is you and me and everybody else. So the essence of God is in each and every one of us. And if the essence of God is within our hearts, the breath of God is within us, we are therefore called to be holy. And that is why Jesus goes to great lengths today with all sorts of seriousness to tell us, do not let anything stain your holiness. Do not let anything poison your holiness. Do not let anything make you unholy. If it does, cut it off. Remove it immediately from your life. For it is better to do that than to suffer the eternal consequences. Amen? Now, I think all of us here, you know, we kind of understand this also. It's not the hand, it's not the foot, it's not the eye that causes the sin. Rather, it's the content of the heart. There's a great piece of scripture in Proverbs. It's chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4:23 tells us, with closest custody, guard your heart, for in it are the wellsprings of life. Let me repeat that. With closest custody, guard your heart, for in it are the wellsprings of life. Guard your heart closely, for what you allow into your heart will grow into your behavior, good or bad. Well, we all probably can admit at times We don't guard our hearts very well, do we? We let some things into our hearts that are pretty negative. We let some things into our hearts that can be pretty harmful. Maybe we have a disagreement with somebody at work or with a family member. Or maybe we have this perceived slight that someone did to us or a perceived wrong that came our direction. And what do? We plant that little seed of anger in our heart. We plant in the heart the need to always be right. We plant that need for revenge. And then it grows. And when we do those kind of things, it doesn't grow into a peaceful behavior. It grows into behavior that's full of conflict. You know, other times, maybe it's envy, just like in our stories today. We let a little envy in the heart, and jealousy blossoms out into our behavior. Nothing good ever comes from jealous behavior. You know, other times, maybe life's been a little hard, or maybe life's been a little messy. And so we plant some self-pity, and we plant some pessimism in our heart, and cynicism. And bitterness comes out, and it usually comes out to other people. Think of it this way, if you would. Think of it this way. Two things cannot occupy the same spot. So if we allow the negative to take hold of our hearts rather than the goodness, if we allow the negative to take hold of our souls and our very being rather than the goodness, then the holiness, the essence of God that is within us, it's pushed out of the way, and it's displaced by the negative. Today's readings, especially today's gospel, tells us point blank, do not allow that to happen. There will be consequences. The moment you feel that poison seeping into your heart, just cut it off. And resist it with all that you got. Resist that poison with all your strength. And then stand strong with the Word of God. Stand strong in your faith. And stand strong with all the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, St. Cyril. May God bless each and every one of you.